Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. This is podcast 390. It's going to be a little bit weird because I'm going to go backward and forward in time. It is about 4 o'clock in the morning on Monday, July 13th, and I'm headed to Waukesha, Wisconsin, where Scott Walker is going to make his announcement to run for the Republican nomination for president. And I always make that clarification because people just say somebody's running for president. They don't go through the process and give it context, which is what I intend to do. I'll explain all that. But I am recording this because I had to stop. I've been in a driving storm most of the way. And, you know, I could have certainly recorded over some audio driving, and you probably wouldn't have known. But I thought what I'll do is I'll just tell everybody what I'm doing. I'm sitting in the IHOP parking lot in Wisconsin Dells because I finally had to stop. I thought I'd be further along tonight, but it's just been slow going all night. So in this podcast, I'm going to talk about my expectations for governor's announcement and make a few other notes, and then I'm going to wait for the Starbucks to open and upload this thing. So perfect place to stop. And what's great about 9490 is I know this route like the back of my hand, so I know where everything is, and it makes everything a lot easier. So this podcast is sponsored by xgovernmentcars.com. Of course, Ed Johnson is the father of the mobile podcast Command Ambulance, which I'm sitting in right now. And xgovernmentcars.com really is the only car dealer that rocks as hard as I do. It's the only car dealer that rocks as hard as you do. xgovernmentcars.com can get you approved for your car loan in minutes, and everybody's approved. It doesn't matter what your level of credit is. The other thing that's really great about xgovernmentcars.com is they take trades. I can't repeat that enough. So if you're driving the 96 Saturn that burns oil, take it down there and you can drive out in a great vehicle. Stop by xgovernmentcars.com for a test drive. You can see the Chargers. You can see the Crown Vicks. He's getting into trucks in a big way, Expeditions, Yukons, etc. Now's the time to get your butt down to xgovernmentcars.com, 2420 Nevada Avenue North in Golden Valley. So I've had 3 Crown Vicks and now the ambulance from X Government Cars. They're great. They stand behind their sales, and they've got the new Ford Police sedan, which is an awesome car. Just saw one in a movie last night, which means I'm sooner or later going to have to get one. And of course, a couple of my friends want to get Chargers, and they still have some Crown Vicks. So it's time to check it out. Or you can just call. You can go to xgovernmentcars.com online, or you can check it out, 763-777-8782, if you want to call them, at 2420 Nevada Avenue North in Golden Valley, xgovernmentcars.com. And this time I did bring the megaphone.
xgovernmentcars.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast, the new talk. Back on the road, headed to Waukesha, Wisconsin, where Monday at 5 p.m. in Waukesha at the Expo Center, Scott Walker will declare his candidacy for the Republican nomination to be president. So, in other words, he'll be campaigning to get the nomination first, which I'm going to talk about in this podcast, and then we'll see what happens after that. My plan was to leave after it stopped raining, but it just took forever for the storm to come in tonight, and so finally I was like, well, I'm going to go, and I am now driving in a driving downpour. I'm still in the Minneapolis-St. Paul Metro, and of course the announcement is at 5 p.m. tomorrow in podcast time, so it's Sunday night, and I just thought, well, I want to get close. And the reason is, and I want people to know, I'm not endorsing Scott Walker or following Scott Walker like he's the Messiah or anything else. I wanted to go to a campaign announcement for a candidate that I was familiar with. I've interviewed Governor Walker and kind of have followed the whole Walker thing in Wisconsin. And Wisconsin is also a state that I have worked in and am knowledgeable about. So it's kind of a good bet, and it's close. And the idea was to go to events that are regionally interesting. So that's why I'm going to this particular announcement. And the objective here is to kind of watch what happens with the media. That was a big lightning strike. I want to see what kind of shenanigans take place with the media. And this, of course, is just part one of the Walker campaign coverage, because he's going down to Davenport later this week for an appearance in Iowa. And all these candidates are just traversing Iowa like crazy, like they're running for the president of Iowa. And I'm going to talk about that in this podcast a little bit. So I want to go to one of these Iowa events. So I'm going to probably go to the Davenport event later this week. So the Mobile Podcast Command Center is headed to Waukesha in a driving rainstorm, which is kind of fun, actually, because this thing is really an all-weather vehicle. You know, if you've been listening to the podcast, the travel podcast, I have been in snowstorms in Wyoming and all over the place, on the beaches, in the mountains. And this thing just cranks right along. Keep your fingers crossed. So we're headed to Waukesha. Now, Waukesha is a short drive. It's 5.5 hours or so from Minneapolis. It's a suburb of Milwaukee. So I'll be stopping relatively close. But I want to get into position early over there because I want to get a good seat, not in the auditorium at the Expo Center, but I want to get a good seat so I can watch all the other media roll in, because I want to watch this whole media thing. And I have a little experience with this because I've gone to two national conventions, and in both cases, I just was stunned at the amount of media that shows up for these things. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in Waukesha. So we'll be looking for that, and that'll be on the next podcast. So tonight I'll just be kind of talking about what these candidates are doing. I know that I've been talking about kind of avoiding politics, and the reason I'm doing this is because I'm actually going to an event. I'm actually in the news, as opposed to sitting and reading stories and talking about it and reacting to it. So that part of it will be really fun, and it's close. For me, this isn't a long, week-long trip, where I have to get to the coast or get to this place or get to that place, and I'm pretty excited about that. There's actually a lot of stuff I'm going to be doing in the near future in podcasts, in travel podcasts, so that should be kind of fun. But for the time being, it's these two events, the Walker announcement in Waukesha and then Davenport, Iowa. So it's a short trip over and a short trip back, and the rain is kind of letting up a little bit, enough to go 50 miles an hour as opposed to 45. But this thing just trundles right through, The diesel-powered podcast command unit just continues to just roll on. I'll let you hear it a little bit. I'll turn off the heat. So you can sort of hear the amount of rain that's falling. I mean, that is very unusual to hear that much, to have that much rainfall in, I'm actually driving in this thing, so it's a lot of standing water. The cool thing is it's just straight out 94 to 90, so I don't have to think too much about where I'm going. And I've traveled this road so many times, leaving at midnight is the best thing to do. I didn't want to stay up. I didn't want to wait until like 2 or 3, because then the storm would have probably passed by 2 or 3, but I didn't want to wait that long, because I want to get over and get this podcast up and so forth. So I'll probably stop someplace in Madison where I can steal Wi-Fi. And I'm on the verge of solving that problem. So that's going to be a problem I solve soon. So anyway, that is what is up in this podcast. On the road, a midnight run to Waukesha, Wisconsin for the Walker announcement Monday at 5 p.m. We're starting to outrun the storm a little bit now, and so we're on the edge that went through the Twin Cities about 11 o'clock Central Time on the 12th of July, in case you're interested. And what's great is, you know, I'm at 94, which is always under construction. So we're about 190 miles from Madison. And one of the things I just think is great is this storm had a lot of lightning on the front edge. And so one of the cool things about this is, you know, I'm going to eventually outrun the storm at some point, probably, you know, when I get down to the split thereabouts. I'll probably, when I get close to Madison, probably have outrun this. So I'm coming up behind the leading edge, and of course there's a ton of lightning, which I can see, and it's just amazing. This storm had a lot of lightning. It's like a fireworks show, and it just keeps lighting up the whole highway like day. It's amazing. And this is one of those times where I actually wish I had video. But if I was going to do that, I would want I don't know what you'd call it, but I'd want a little thing on the roof so that I could stick the video up through the roof. So I'd want a little bubble that I could put the video up there, because, you know, you wouldn't be able to put a GoPro on the outside of the vehicle tonight because it's raining. So it would be cool to have some kind of a bubble up there that had wipers on it or something, so you could clear the thing, or maybe use some kind of chemical on it so that the water blew off, so I could get some great shots of lightning. But yeah, we're starting to outrun the storm. It's not raining as hard, which is really, really good. Midnight run to Waukesha, Wisconsin. And I guess I wanted to talk about the what's actually going on here, because I want to give a little bit of a little deeper background in terms of this whole thing, other than what, as we roll into Eau Claire, other than what you would hear or see in the mainstream media, because there's all this focus right now in the mainstream media. Ooh, ooh, ooh. There was like four awesome lightning strikes. It just lit the whole road up for like a second and a half. But there's all this coverage right now of polls. You know, Bernie Sanders is gaining on Hillary Clinton, and there's all these guys running for president on the Republican side, and it's a horse race. And this one has this much, and that one has that much. And somebody asked me this weekend, but what do you think of all this poll data? And I said, well, it's worthless at this point, because, first of all, it's not a general election. What's happening is, I'd be surprised, I guess I'm always surprised that people don't know this, but some people apparently don't know this. These are primary elections and caucuses that these guys are running for. So what they're doing is they're out there trying to get delegates right now. That's their gig. And really, right now what they're trying to do is find people to work for them. They're, you know, whether it's in Iowa or New Hampshire or especially the early primary states, but really all of them. They're trying to identify people who are actives, who can do work for them and who can help find other delegates for them, so that when it counts, especially in the caucus states, because caucuses can be easily influenced, because really with a caucus, it really is completely dependent on who shows up. The other thing is in states with primary elections, the difference is, you know, caucuses are straw polls. So Minnesota has a straw poll, Iowa has a straw poll, and that is everybody goes to the caucus, and they go to their caucus from their precinct. So every precinct, when you go to the caucus, they'll ask you where you live, and you tell them, and it's not voting. And I'm talking about Minnesota. You are sent over to a table with, if you're a Republican, two or three other people from your precinct, and they're your neighbors, basically. And precincts can be geographically relatively large, or they can be geographically small, depending on how dense the area is and the laws of the individual state. But when you go to a caucus, you're sent to a table with the people from your precinct. And those are the people that you're going to caucus with. And caucuses usually take up different business besides the straw poll. The straw poll is usually the last thing that they do. So you'll sit there and you'll take up a number of different things. Like usually there's some voting at the table on proposed planks, and you're usually asked, do you want to propose any? Well, in fact, I know. You know, you're asked a series of questions that, you know, you can propose planks to the platform, and you also elect precinct officers at the caucus. And the thing is, if your campaign, whether it's the Walker campaign or the Bernie Sanders campaign or the Hillary Clinton campaign, in these states with caucuses, if you can bring in a bunch of delegates, not really delegates, I mean, if you can bring in enough people, you can dominate the straw poll, and it makes everybody think that you have this amazing campaign. So this is what they're doing right now. They're trying to find and identify people that can help them gear up to get the vote out in primary states, because some states just have primary elections, and usually the turnout is very low. So they're not really running in a popularity contest right now. They're running to find delegates, and they're running to find people to send into the caucuses in Iowa and Minnesota. And I'm not really sure about the way that New Hampshire does it. I think it's a primary, but I could be wrong. So some states have elections, which is the polls open and people go in and they vote for a slate of candidates. They pick a party that they're for or whatever, and then they vote on that party's candidates. Some states have open primaries where you can go and vote for anybody, depending on doesn't matter what your political orientation is. Other states, you got to go in and you're a registered Republican or a registered Democrat, so you vote on this side or that side for the candidates. And then they are going to the convention with a certain number of delegates, depending on how many straw polls and caucuses they win, and depending on whether it's a winner-take-all state. So some states are winner-take-all states, meaning that if candidate A wins the majority of vote in the state in the primary election or the caucus, then they take all the delegates in the state to the convention. And then once they get to the convention, it's just a question of how many delegates there are. You might recall in 2008, Hillary Clinton releasing her delegates to Barack Obama because they did not want to have a quote-unquote floor fight. A floor fight is when there are fights over planks and or fights over delegates. So when people go to the conventions and they're delegates from a particular state, then, you know, they're either pledged to a specific candidate or each candidate has so many delegates from that particular state. So that's what's going on right now. This is not what's going on, and I think a lot of people who are peripherally watching this don't understand that this is not, they're not running for president right now. They're running for delegates. They're running to win primary elections and caucuses, straw polls in these states, especially the early states, Iowa, New Hampshire, Minnesota, actually this year is an early state, Florida, Texas, and then Super Tuesday, which is a bunch of different states, most of which I believe are primary states. And that's what's going on. People ask me, you know, what's going to happen with all these candidates running for president on the Republican side? Well, you know, I read today that the Republican Party is now getting concerned that they're quote unquote losing control of the process, which is just laughable because they lost control of the process a long time ago when they encouraged everybody and his brother to run for president. And the reason that they feel they've lost control of the process is now Donald Trump, who is certainly no conservative, is out there touting and saying and jumping up and down and saying things that people respond to, running a quote-unquote populist campaign. Really, he's just going out and saying things that in many ways are impossible to pay off on. And, you know, most of the time, people who are voting in straw polls or are voting in primaries are a little more savvy than than voting for just anybody. Although that doesn't mean that that doesn't preclude them from going out in droves and voting for someone like Donald Trump. But organization is going to matter as much as anything when it comes to these primaries and caucuses in February and March and April of next year. And I think it's important to point that out, because the way that the media is covering this stuff makes it sound like these people have these, you know, full-blown presidential campaigns. That is hardly the case. They have individual state campaigns right now to try to identify and build a base of workers and so that they can get the delegates, and then they go to the convention. Now, when the Republicans talk about losing control of the process, here's something that could happen. A very real thing that could happen for Republicans, because there are so many people running. What you may end up with is either constituencies in depending on the state. So Mike Huckabee is from Arkansas, and Rick Santorum is from Pennsylvania, and Scott Walker is from Wisconsin, and Jeb Bush is from Florida, and so on. So what could happen is a number of these candidates could end up going to the convention with enough delegates to be dangerous. So someone like Rand Paul could conceivably win. In Super Tuesday, he could do very well because he happens to be from the Mid-South, Kentucky, Tennessee. He could win Kentucky and Tennessee. He could win Virginia. He could win a couple other states. You know, Jeb Bush could win Texas and Florida, or he could win Texas and lose to Rubio, or Rick Perry could win Texas, or Ted Cruz could win Texas, and so on and so on. So that what ends up happening is they go into the convention with enough delegates that they have to broker. And then you have this thing about candidates releasing their delegates to the guy who can win, okay? That's the problem with too many of these candidates, because they split the vote. I don't know how many of these candidacies, whether it's Donald Trump or Carly Fiorina or Scott Walker or name your guy, or Bernie Sanders if you're on the Democrat side, I don't know how many of these campaigns are going to be able to go through the primaries, because you know, campaigns cost money to run, and they've got to get the contributions. And so that's why there's so much focus on saying things in the media that gets everyone's attention, because it brings in contributions. But these campaigns like Bernie Sanders and others are going to be really hard-pressed to keep up with the people who are really well-organized and well-funded. So it's possible that a number of these candidates will drop out between now and these primaries and caucuses starting in early February of 2016. So that's what's going on with these guys. And one of the reasons I want to go and do this is because I think one of the things poisoning the American political process is media coverage of these things as though they don't put it in perspective. They give you no context, and everybody thinks this is the presidential campaign. It's not. And it's really not even a campaign for general consumption of the people in Wisconsin or the people in Iowa or the people in New Hampshire or any place. Wow, that was a great lightning strike right there. It's really not for that. It's really to identify actives, as I said three times now, and put people who are active into the process, so that, because when you're dealing with primary elections where 32% of the people in a state vote, and that would be pretty good, you know, it's only the people who are really involved politically. So what they're doing is trying to find and identify and appeal to those people more than the quote-unquote general election. So it's really important to point that out, and that's why I'm doing this. You know, I don't know what I'm going to see when I get down to Waukesha sometime early this morning. You know, I'll probably stop someplace and sleep for a while, but I mean, I don't know what I'm going to see when I get there, but my suspicion is there's going to be an awful lot of media people here, myself included, and I think there's going to be an awful lot of people in Davenport. Probably going to be more media people at these events. Well, not this event, not the big event, because he's going to fill Expo Center. The Davenport thing is a little smaller, but what I'm going to try to do when I go down to Davenport, I'm going to go down to Davenport early and try to find some stuff that he's going to be involved in, because they always do other things in addition to show up for the main event. So he's probably got some fundraisers and things of that nature. Hopefully I can find one to sneak into. Because I believe that there's probably more media standing around in these things than there are actually regular old folks, to use an Obama term. Regular old folks at the event, which is, you know, I guess it should be part and parcel of politics. I think there's going to be a lot of media to cover the Scott Walker thing because Scott Walker, hang on, I got to turn my brights off. Because Scott Walker is, you know, very controversial in Wisconsin and thus very controversial in the country. I saw a piece yesterday that, you know, from The Week that was criticizing Walker for stealing his logo from a, you know, from a eyeglass company, as though that's a problem, you know. As though there's an original logo idea out there that has never been used before. I mean, that kind of stuff is just silly. That's the kind of writing that you're getting, the kind of quote-unquote political analysis that you're getting. So this will be fun because it'll be sort of an inside, and I'm doing two podcasts because I want to get my impressions of what I think I'm going to encounter before I get there, and then I'll talk about what I thought I was going to encounter versus what I actually encounter. As I think in the back of my mind whether I close my garage door or not. That's what I'm thinking about as I drive along here. But, boy, it's good to be back out on the road. I got to say, it's really fun to do this. And I'm really excited about doing this is a short run. 6 hours over to Waukesha, to me, is nothing. This is like, yeah, whatever. You know, and this whole thing, you know, from the get-go has been running, doing these training missions and taking these runs, so I am familiar with and understand how this thing works and what it's like to drive it long distances and everything else. I didn't even bring the full package. I didn't even put the entire package into this vehicle this time around because there's just no need to. I didn't bring all the microphones and mixers and tape machines and, you know, everything. I just brought, you know, a portable package because... So I really don't have anything. I have a change of clothes and some water and my coffee maker and some coffee and some mixed nuts. And I think that's about it. And of course, I brought my toothbrush and everything, but I didn't put the full package in here. So, oh, I brought the cot and the air mattress. The air mattress is in the 6 foot tall. There's a 6 foot tall cabinet outside this vehicle, so I got the air mattress in there. And so, yeah, I'm just tooling down the road, 94, now east of Eau Claire, and watching the lightning strikes and trying to get on the other side of this storm. It's not raining as hard as it was. It was ridiculous when I left the Twin Cities. And hopefully I can get on the other side of this storm. But it's really fun cruising along because I am looking forward. You know, that line of storms has all the lightning, so it's really, this is just a great light show going on right now that I'm watching. Is this guy going to pass, or what's his deal here?
Yeah, it's always interesting, the people that, they look like they're going to pass, and then they slow down to look at this thing. It drives me crazy. So, I guess the whole upshot, I just want to make it very clear. These candidates are running for their party's nomination to then run for president. And the way they get the nomination is by delegates voting for them. And the way to get the delegates is to win the primaries or the caucuses and get as many delegates as you can get so that you have a chance to go to the convention and win the race. The potential problem for Republicans is that there are too many of them running, and I didn't mean to make it sound as though it's regionally based. I don't believe really that it's regional. I'm just saying that it's conceivable that with 17 or 18 candidates or 20 or however many there are, you could end up with candidates having enough delegates to actually be able to block other candidates from getting the nomination, and you could have a huge fight at the convention. None of that makes Republicans look good, but it could also happen with Democrats if enough people declare. I know Jim Webb is talking, Martin O'Malley, and of course Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, and there may be more. So this, I still haven't decided whether this is a good thing or not with all the candidates. I'm inclined to believe that it isn't, especially on the Republican side, but I remain open to the idea that maybe, in fact, it is. So we'll just have to see. So looking forward to the first big political event for me to cover tomorrow in Waukesha, the Walker announcement, and then later in the week going over to one of these soirees in Iowa to actually see the Iowans drink up the national attention. I am rambling. I'm tired. Quick nap and then over to the Starbucks to upload this podcast. So thanks for listening to podcast 390. Got to thank xgovernmentcars.com for sponsoring this podcast. As you know, Ed's been sponsoring the Bob Davis podcast since the beginning, way back in 2009. And I've had, as I said, three Crown Vics. They have great deals. Ed is getting into trucks now in a big way. So we're talking Expeditions, we're talking Yukons, and we're talking financing for all levels of credit. So get your butt down to xgovernmentcars.com and see what they've got. Chargers, they've got trucks, they've got Crown Vics as well still, and the new Ford police sedan. Don't forget that. All that stuff at xgovernmentcars.com. One more time for the megaphone.
xgovernmentcars.com.
And I also want to thank the digital sponsor of the BobDavisPodcast.com, Mad Kay Studios, creating quality, original automotive artwork. Mad Kay's going to be out at some of these antique auto shows this summer. I know he goes up to Anoka almost every weekend, and hopefully I'll be able to join him at one of those deals. Click on the banner for more information about Mad Kay Studios, the banner at the top of the BobDavisPodcast.com. And thank you for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, or TuneIn and Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for liking, sharing, and favoriting and following on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And thanks for your donations for Komodo Dragon Coffee and Diesel Fuel at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks for listening to Podcast 390.